All right. Welcome to the Imperfectly Inspirational Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Bowman. We're so glad to have you tuning in this week. We are on episode number 2 of the Fruit of the Spirit series. Last week, we talked about love. We started off with the big one, and we called it the fragrance of God. And why did we go with fragrance? Well, fragrance is one of the strongest things tied to memory. And when you think of somebody loving you, that really is something that is tied to the memory as well. So we just call it the fragrance of God because it's something that somebody remembers when you show them love. And this week we're going to talk about joy, and we're going in order. Honestly, if you want to know what order we're going in, it's just going to be the way it is listed in Galatians. So this week we're going to be talking about joy and really understanding that there is a difference between joy and happiness. Many times we go and we think both of them are connected, but really they're not. There's a big separation to those. And we're going to find out what that separation here is in the story that we're going to read of one man's struggle to find happiness and to find out some of the meaning of life. And, you know, when I was doing this, it made me think of some of the advice that I would get as a kid of learning from the older generation or learning from people who have already been through it. See, I've learned sometimes the hard way that, you know, if you just ask somebody who has been through a similar situation or been through, you know, maybe you're looking at getting a degree in something or you're looking at, you know, marriage or whatever it is that you've done or planning on doing, if you ask somebody that's been through it, most of the time that person can give you some sound advice that will save you a lot of extra work, a lot of heartache, tell you things that are good that you should do or shouldn't do to make that situation better or to get to the other end of what you're dealing with. And I think that's something now that's kind of a lost art. We don't see many people reaching out to that older generation for advice and an understanding on things that they had to go through. It's more of a, you know, I can handle this myself type of deal. But today, you know, I want to take that advice that I was given, and we're going to go in the book of Ecclesiastes and learn from a very wise man, King Solomon, on what he felt about having everything and what his thought was in life on what really it is, per se, and what brings him the greatest amount of happiness in his life. So let's go ahead and jump into Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Verse 1 says, I said in my heart, come on now, I will test you with pleasure, enjoy yourself, but behold, this also was vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of pleasure, what use is it? I searched my heart, how to cheer my body with wine, my heart still guiding me with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under the heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works, and I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves who were born in my house. I also had great possessions of herds and flocks, more than any who had been before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines to delight the sons of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered that all my hands had done, and the toil that I expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and striving after the wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. So what we see here is we see Solomon is kind of flexing here. He's letting us know that he has all the money. Nobody has came that was before him was ever as rich and wise and understanding as he was. Now, this guy who had the opportunity to buy anything he wanted, we still see that he was kind of disgruntled toward the end of it. Now, I don't know about you, but I know there's many times many of us will sit there and will say, you know what, only if I could win that lottery, or maybe if I could have a windfall of some sort of cash, everything will be all right. I'll pay off my debts. I'll go buy a new boat or a house on the lake, and everything will be fine and dandy. I'm going to be happy. Well, I tell you what, if you look at a lot of statistics, some of the unhappiest people in the world are the richest. And we see that King Solomon is letting us know clearly that he has tried many different things, and he's wise. And he's made that clear, and that he's not only just tried them, but he's tested them to see what the results were. You know, he tried laughter. You know, he had some comedy, saying, you know, what would this do for me? And he tried wine, but we understand that he was a wise man. So, you know, he saw people drinking. You know, you see the commercials. Everybody's having a good time. Well, let's try this out. And he wasn't plastered and fallen over into the gutter. He says that his heart was still guiding him with wisdom, which means he was not overly drunk. And then he said he built all these things. He had all these houses. How many people do we see say, you know, only if I could have, you know, all this property and just become a real estate mogul, I'll be happy, right? Then he, you know, built all these parks and all this. He had the greatest celebrities of the time coming in and making, performances, basically, I'd say, at his beck and call. He was a king, so he had all of this stuff, and at the end of it, he sees that was striving after the wind. I don't know about you, but if you've tried to catch the wind, that is a really hard thing to do. I'll tell you, go get a box, go outside, and open it up on a windy day, shut it really fast, go inside, and you're not going to get smacked with some wind when you open the box. Why? Because you just really can't catch wind. It goes right through you and goes past. It continues on. And this right here is the distinctness, and we're going to continue to see this process throughout this chapter. This is the distinctiveness between happiness and joy. Well, right now we're seeing happiness. I want to talk about happiness because this is what we strive for in our minds many times. And happiness is something that we have to understand is temporary. Happiness is like a gas tank with a hole in it. You are never going to fill it completely up. We see this many times in the sense of, people who use drugs or people who have compulsive gambling problems. Because what happens is when we search for happiness, it is only temporary because we are looking for happiness within worldly things. And I don't know about you, and I'm not a history major, I'm not a geology major, I'm not any type of ology major at all, but I can tell you nothing on this earth lasts forever. Everything will fade away, and that is going to be including happiness. When everything that you focus on in life is material and on earth, it will pass away, and it's going to continue to take work to continue to make it work, right? So we look at, and I just want to go on a little tangent and give an example. We see that the Garden of Eden, right? The Garden of Eden didn't really need much care. God had everything running. Adam and Eve were just there to just kind of make sure everything looked good and were taken care of it until sin came in. And now they had to toil to get the things that God promised them. Because why? All the weeds would grow up. You couldn't keep things nice. You couldn't keep things beautiful. You had to work hard for it because it didn't last. And that is what happiness is when we focus that in life. Let's continue on. He's got some more things that we're looking for. Now he's looking at wisdom. See, so many people want to think in their lives that I have a full understanding of how the world operates. I have a full understanding of how money operates. I'm wise. I do so many good things, and I don't, you know, I'm not overly abundantly spending. I live within my means. I do. Well, let's see what King Solomon has to say about that, because remember, he was a very wise man. He didn't become rich overnight. He had a lot of wisdom. What does he say about it here in verse 12? He says, "So I turn to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what has already been done. Then I saw that there is more to gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceived that the same event happened to all of them. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool? What happened to me also? Then why have I been so very wise? And then I said in my heart, this is also vanity. For the one who is wise as the fool, there is no enduring remembrance. Seeing that in those days to come, all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool? So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and starving after the wind." What we see here is he's saying that, see, our focus is now, okay, we had him spending lavishly. We have the people that say, okay, I'm going to spend what I want. I'm going to get everything I want. I'm going to work hard to get all of this stuff. And it is temporary. Now he's saying, okay, well, there's got to be something more to this. Let me use my wisdom and kind of make the best of it and, you know, save and not make rash decisions so I'm not losing everything I worked for. But then at the end of the day, he realizes, you know what? That person who didn't put any effort into anything, that person who didn't have a penny to their name, that person who just blew every ounce of money that came into their bank account, they're going to die too. And all of this stuff that I have worked hard for now is going to just be there. What is this worth? And you can kind of see this process going through his head, like, wait a minute, what am I doing? All of these things that I have worked for, or all of the precautions that I've taken have been for nothing because I'm just going to die one day. Now let's go on to the last part, the vanity of toil, the vanity of ultimately hard work and putting all your blood, sweat, and tears into something. Verse 18, he says, I hated all my toil, which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool, yet he will be a master of all for which I toiled and used under my wisdom under the sun. This is also vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair all over my toil and my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This is also great vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of his heart for which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. So now he's perplexed with this whole point of, I did all of this, and now some idiot is going to come after me that didn't earn any of it, and he's going to get it, and he's just going to ruin it. It don't matter. What's the point? You know, he's got a lot going on through his mind right now, and he's thinking in his mind, all of this is for nothing. Because I'm going to die one day. I'm not, you know, all of this, I cannot take it with me. It means nothing. But he comes to a realization toward the end. It's this aha moment. Verse 24, it says, there is nothing better for a person that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or drink and have enjoyment? For the one who pleases him, God, has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he is given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. This is also vanity and striving after the wind. The point of this is that when we start finding joy, or when we start trying to find a sense of happiness in our life within earthly things, we're going to soon, and sometimes people don't find out until it's too late, we're going to realize that it takes more and more and more to keep that happy tank full than it used to each and every time. Why? Because it's temporary. But see, when we got God in our hearts, and we it starts off now with the dedication to God. You dedicate your life to God, you let God into your heart, and then what you're going to have is you're going to have the work of the Holy Spirit within your life. Christ says, I am the living water. You're never going to thirst again. See, Christ is offering something that this world can never offer you. See, we have this direct connection to God now. God is the author and the creator of the world, and anything that he is or is within him is full of life and is eternal and is never going to die. So the fact that joy is a gift from God, it is a fruit of the Spirit, something that is born from somebody who is connected to something holy, right? You can only bear joy if you are a person of God. Why? Because joy comes from God. God is not going to give you something that is going to run out. God is not going to give you something that is temporary. So in your life, if you're looking for happiness, you're looking for things of the world. But if you're looking for joy, if you're looking for completeness, fulfillment, that's what joy is. That's the difference. Happiness only makes you a little bit of time, and then you're hungry again. You're thirsty again. You want to go back to wherever you were again. You need that next fix. But joy is continuously filling. It is fulfillment. It is God in your life, something that will be with you when you die and you're in heaven. You're still going to have joy to be in the presence of God. And when you have joy in your heart, it is contagious. The things of God are contagious. You spread that joy. People see joy in you, because if you're happy about something, people don't notice it as quick as they see joy. Because even on your bad days, even when something's gone wrong, even when life could be going down and you have the joy of God in your heart, people are still going to say, what is this about you? I am sensing something about you that I don't think I could have in that moment. And that is that joy unspeakable and full of glory that you got from Jesus. So I want to tell you today, where are you looking in life? Where are you looking? Are you looking for the things of this world to make you happy? Are you continuously returning to the things of this earth that are never going to give you lasting joy? The things that you might think you want now, the things that you might think you need now, you don't need any of it. You need Jesus. But now I want to say, does this mean that I can't have nice things or I can't enjoy nice things? No, not at all. Because when we work hard, we have fruits of our labors, right? We have things that we enjoy. We have things that we want. Does this mean that we should all just give up everything and live in a tent? Absolutely not. There's nothing wrong with having abundance. There's nothing wrong with having a lot in life and having goals and ambitions. It is, where is your mindset, though? Is your mindset on God? God, guide me to make the right decisions. God, guide me for this. I want to do what's pleasing you. Or is it, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take care of that. I want. If you know anything about Christianity and anything about God, it is never about you. It is only about God. Once you turn your heart and your mind to God, these things will flow in. So yes, you could go out, enjoy life, enjoy the spoils, enjoy the fruits of your labor. Go out and, you know, one of my favorite things I love to do is I love to go to amusement parks. And right now we don't have any passes. Our passes had expired and we have not renewed any yet. And I'm just itching to go. I love it. It's my happy place. But guess what? I got to continuously go to feel happy. When I'm not there, I'm kind of like, oh man. You know, I want to go. I want to enjoy it. I just like, you know, people watching and riding the rides. It's something awesome. But my focus isn't, I need that in my life in order to have fulfillment. No, I'm fulfilled because I have Jesus Christ in my life. I know that I enjoy going to the amusement parks because it brings a little bit of happiness. But if I don't get to go, I'm not miserable. I'm not pouting. I'm not destroying the world. I'm not crying about it. Why? Because I got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in my heart. And I know there is nothing else in this world that is going to compare. And that, my friends, is joy. Joy is knowing Jesus. Joy is being close to Jesus. Joy is putting all of your focus on Jesus, and he will take care of that source within you so you can spread that out to the world. And I hope today that we've learned by this story that even the richest man in the world, who could have anything that he wanted and could enjoy any of the pleasures he had, still felt empty outside of God. I encourage you today, if you know you want to do something in your life, you want to learn, number one, go to God, but number two, go ask those who's been through it. Learn from history so we don't repeat history in our own lives, or maybe there was a generational problem within your family. Go talk to them. Let's not repeat history. Let's learn the lessons like we did today. But folks, I hope you found joy in your life. And if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, I really hope that you would. Send me an email. I would love to pray for you and help you be able to find that joy, maybe with the acceptance, you know, with the acceptance of Jesus Christ in your heart, because that's the only way it's going to start. Without that, you're not going to have it, my friend. And I encourage you, if you want to find joy, that's how you're going to find it, is through Jesus Christ. But folks, I love each and every one of you, and I hope that y'all have a wonderful rest of the week.